Visiting us, may you receive a rich blessing, and I particularly highlight Lieutenant Colonel John Dial, who's with us from Poland, not this morning, but he's with us this morning. Today is our day of sharing food and fellowship. For those feasting in the hall, I am reliably told you should be eating by about 12:45 to 1 o'clock. Any visitors who are in the hall today, you are welcome to eat with us and share the fellowship. I bring you news of great joy. Louise Durham, daughter of Dawn, has given birth to a son, Leo William. Both Louise and her partner, Lewis, are well. Dawn may still be on gas and air, but that's... Hopefully we have all heard about the proposed planning application that is in with Bromley Council at the moment. If you haven't, the old Maplin site and the surrounding shops and flats up to the TK Maxx shop, they are going to be knocked down. A total of 9 properties. The proposal is for a 16-storey building, including 68 flats and ground-level shops. I don't think there's any parking apart from for the disabled, but for bikes as well, there is parking. Now, as the building site will run probably within feet of our site, some may have concerns and quite rightly may wish to make these to Bromley Council Planning Office, as I have and some others in the congregation today already. This, in my and many others, people, is our spiritual home. And we may feel that we don't particularly want to share it, however selfish that may be, with a large building such as this. I feel that you should have the opportunity of making these feelings known to the council. However, you need to submit these by the end of this week, either by the website, which is quite efficient and well run, or I would probably think by delivering your thoughts directly to the council offices. So that is the site next door, literally over the driveway next door. Community carol service is almost upon us on the 15th. We are having carol service on the 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. as we have done for the last few years. Please push the tickets for these. Collecting. We need collectors in the afternoon for both the week, the 14th and the 21st. Please see Jill about this. I find collecting caroling is a brilliant opportunity to talk to people. And a rich blessing can be had by all. The money is almost a side issue, but chatting to people is a great thing. Now the songsters will open the service. God bless. It's a little bit squashed because we've got the Christmas tree. Doesn't it look lovely? My thanks to those who've taken the time to decorate our hall, and we welcome you to worship. Thank you, songsters, for that beautiful reminder of that Advent theme, where we can reflect back, yes, God with us as a babe in the flesh in Bethlehem, a time of looking forward to his coming in glory at the end of time. But Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, also for us today in the present, as he comes daily into our lives afresh. And as we make our response this morning, we will offer gifts for others. We will also look forward, as has already been mentioned, to sharing in Christian fellowship over meals. But let us worship this morning. And as we do, Jill will light the first of our candles for Advent, simply signifying the flame, signifying the presence of Jesus in our midst this morning. God with us. We're going to sing, "There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done." We'll stand, we'll sing these three verses together. Jesus came as a humble gift of love to our world, bringing hope and bringing joy. And as the writer of our next song says, incense was brought to signify God with us. As we sing this next song, there'll be the opportunity, if you've been able to take a tag and buy a gift, to bring that to place under the tree. These gifts will be given out to those less fortunate than ourselves. We're going to sing a song which could have been written for Granny Dearham. Joy Has Dawned Upon the World, it's entitled. You should have it in your song, the song is printed in music form in your order of service if you want to follow it. The songsters are going to sing the first verse to introduce us to the tune, some lovely words by Stuart Townend. And then after they sang the first verse, we'll be upstanding if you're able. If you want to bring your gifts forward during the singing of the song, and we'll sing the four verses of this song. There's a little 8-bar interlude in between the verses 3 and 4, and it goes up a key as well. So that's just prior warning. But the songsters are going to introduce the first verse to us just now.
Of glory.
What a beautiful picture that is. What generous gifts you have given. Thank you. I'm sure these will be much appreciated when they are opened on Christmas Day. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of being able to give in worship, giving of ourselves afresh to you, but giving something of what you have given us to make others and bless others. Lord, our hearts are full of praise for you coming into our world. We adore you, Lord Jesus. And we ask you today, through your Holy Spirit, to challenge us. Challenge us to reflect more on your dealings in our lives, with each other, as well as those we associate with our family, our work, our leisure activities. Lord, grant us understanding today of how significant your incarnation was and is. You're no longer a distant, remote God that we worship, but you're an intimate friend, and as we've already sung, a glorious Savior. Father, this morning, may we choose to worship you with hearts open to receive your whispers of wisdom into our hearts, so that we may live our lives of close communion with you, reflecting more of your likeness in our dealings with others. We make this prayer in the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. And amen. Young people, I've got something here. Oh, didn't like the look of that. He doesn't like looking at himself in the mirror. Do you like looking at yourself in the mirror?
Yes.
You do. You like, who was that? Ella. Sorry, I was Bonnie, I thought that was you, but it's Ella. You like looking at yourself, do you? Anyone else like looking at yourself? Gentlemen, when you shave in the morning, looking at yourself in the mirror? Some of us don't like what we're turning into. A bit of grey hair. Some of us losing our hair. And I'm not talking about the ladies either. I'm talking about us gentlemen. But I wonder whether you're pleased with what you see when you look in a mirror. How would you like to be different? Do you wish you had a bigger nose or a more prominent forehead? Or do you wish you were taller?
Yes.
Yes. Do you wish you were blonde instead of brown? Or do you wish you were brown instead of blonde? I don't know. We're told, you know, that we're all unique. Did you know that? We're all unique. Every one of us. Do you know what unique means? What does unique mean? Different. We're all different. We're all different from one another. Mind you, it is a bit scary sometimes if you Google your name. Have you ever done that? And put the image up. See how many Ian Hudsons there are in the world and what they look like. Thankfully, not many of them look like me. But we're all different. We're all unique. That's what science says. That's also what the Bible says as well. I wonder if you've ever thought about what God looks like. What image have you got of God? Anyone like to suggest? What would you like to suggest? A ghost. Okay. What does God look like? Pardon? He's got a beard, has he? Has he got white fluffy hair as well? In the Bible, we've got this little phrase that says,
spoken about Jesus, that Jesus is the image, when we think of image, of the invisible God. Just think about that, young people, for a minute, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So when I said, what does God look like? What would be the right answer? Anyone?
Nothing.
Nothing, no. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So when I say, what is God like? The answer is Jesus. If we want to see what God looks like, we look at Jesus. Now, when that was written, it wasn't necessarily talking about physical features. It was thinking about what God is like, some of his characteristics. And so if you read the Gospels, you read of a Jesus who was showed compassion, who got upset when there was nasty things done to individuals. He didn't like injustice. He fought against it and discrimination. He wanted to bring healing and wholeness to people's lives that were broken. And so when we look at Jesus in the Gospels, we see a picture of what God is. But more than that, young people, when we look at Jesus and we see God reflected in the life of Jesus, the Bible tells us also that we too must reflect something of Jesus in our lives. Because if we follow Jesus, we want to be like him. And Christmas is all about Jesus coming to this earth to be with us. To be with us. And we need to remember that. We need to reflect something of Jesus in our lives. Not just at Christmas, but particularly as we think about Jesus coming. So we're going to listen now to the message from the singing company. Then the YP band will play to us, and then we will take part in our offering. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your giving this morning. Thank you also for those that helped with the caroling yesterday. I can announce the grand total of £2,886.17 was raised yesterday. So thank you to everyone that helped with that. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, at this time of the year, when we think about your coming and your gift to the world, Lord, we would say thank you. And we would bring our gifts to you this morning and just ask that you will show us how to use those to bring your light to the people around us. Amen.
Turn to Scripture and John's Gospel, chapter 1, and the first 14 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In the New Revised Standard Version, that last verse is written, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And in this next song, the hymn writer Michael Perry gives his understanding of the incarnation, of what God went through in order to be with us. In the second verse we read, infant so tender, gone is the splendor, Jesus that graced your father's home, our nature wearing, our sorrows bearing, poor and alone, for us you come. We're going to stand and sing these three verses of this song, Born as a Stranger, to the tune of Fairest, or Ascalon, Fairest Lord Jesus. Let's stand and sing.
Who was descended?
please take your seats. You know, the world is happy to let the baby remain in the manger. More content to focus on the holly and the ivy and the mistletoe and the wine and the winter wonderland and the German markets without mentioning the fact we give gifts and eat lots of food at Christmas. But when the world does acknowledge the baby in Bethlehem, they're certainly unhappy to allow him to grow up to be Lord and King that he is, that we've just sung about. The child of Christmas, as we have already said, is God incarnate, the image of God. The world sings of the nativity but rejects his authority. They adore him as an infant, but they reject him as God-man. They tolerate the trappings of the Christmas characters, but they reject the advent of God in human flesh. And so the world ignores the core of all Christmas represents. But let's not do the same. Let's, you and me, this morning, this Christmas time, have time in our hearts and not let the enemy of Christ fool us into thinking Christmas is all about celebration without Christ. This past week, we've had some of our family staying with us, haven't we? Our nephew John and his wife Carol Ann and their 10-month-old son Ralph have been staying with us. They came back from a wedding they went to in Australia, so they were jet-lagged as well. And we love having them to stay. They're our northern family who work in London, or who lived up until very recently in London. They've just moved abroad to Portugal, and they find that Auntie Alison's home is a convenient place to stay when they're flying to and from visiting family. But as many of you know, when babies arrive, so does all the extra stuff, right? I'm looking at her mother just now. No longer when you go out, do you just have to go out, just the two of you, but you've got to think of nappies, you've got to think of push chairs, and you've got to think of all those extra things. No longer are John and Carol Ann traveling light, you might say. And we certainly know that Ralph is with us, staying with us. I've got to say, he's such a beautiful baby. He hardly cries. He is a joy to have in our house. And we have the opportunity to make space to accommodate Ralph and his parents in our home. And at this time of year, when families do naturally get together, we take the opportunity, don't we, to visit our families, or for our families to visit us and stay with us. And many of you will be traveling this Christmas time to meet loved ones and share in this special time, and hopefully taking the opportunity to accommodate them in your homes. But here's my point, friends. Let's not forget to make room for God. Not just at Christmas time, but every day, at every point in our busy lives. Because it was him who took the initiative to come into our world in the form of the baby Jesus. And John helps us understand the essence of the message of Scripture in his first chapter. From the Passion Translation, verse 14 of the first chapter of John's Gospel says, "And so the living expression became man and lived among us. And we gazed upon the splendor of his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, overflowing with tender mercy and truth. God is with us, Emmanuel. John doesn't say God is for us. There can never be a for without there being a with. He is firstly with us. And when he is with us, then he can be in us and he can be for us. But first we need to recognize that God is with us. The incarnation is unfathomable in a sense. Many writers have struggled to put it into words that God chose to be born in a manger. Our minds can't begin to understand what was involved in God becoming man. Let John Gowans help us understand when he writes in his poem, Incarnation. The baby cries again this year, as every year. And we must think again of God in Christ. Again, I fear and comprehend, that's if I can, how God can wrap himself in man. If God should want to speak to man, say something good, the words he chose would have to be well understood. One single lovely word he said and laid it in a manger bed. If I have grasped the truth at all, I've understood that God once dressed himself in man, in flesh and blood, and crossed the gulf of time and space to join the human race. My finite mind and fumbling thoughts still find it hard to grasp the message printed on my Christmas card, that God's sublime salvation plan in Bethlehem's borrowed barn began. I can't express the ageless truth of love expressed. I only know in Jesus all the world is blessed. And when I look into his face, I'm glad God joined the human race. Many writers have tried to express this incarnation for us, and they all fall short. It's unfathomable. Why would God, so rich in heaven, become so poor, assume a human nature, and enter into a world he knew would reject him and kill him? How could God become a baby? The Bible tells us clearly that without giving up his divine nature, he was born into our world as a tiny infant. The incarnation of God becoming man. And in a sense, Jesus voluntarily suspended the fullness of his divine attributes. He didn't give up being God, but he willingly gave up the independence and the use of privileges and powers that were his as God. Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 2. In your relationships with one another, he says to the church at Philippi, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a God, as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Throughout his earthly experience, Jesus remained fully God. And this God in the manger was fully divine. Again, Paul captures the essence that make Christmas truly a wonderful experience. And I alluded to this when I was speaking to the children earlier. I alluded to this verse. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. We can't have Christmas without Easter. In both those scriptures, Paul alludes to the fact he came as a baby so he could be crucified as a man for you and me. The baby in the manger, the image of God. And the Greek for image, icon, means a perfect replica, a precise copy. Paul's saying that God himself is fully manifest in the person of his Son. As Jesus himself said in John's Gospel to Philip, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." And beautifully, the writer to the Hebrews also teaches Jesus is God, where the writer says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being." Christmas is, in essence, the story of how God came from heaven into our worlds, into the hearts of humankind. God, the invisible, through Christ has been made visible, and he chose to make himself known first to the poor and the rejected, the lowly shepherds on the hillside above Bethlehem. That's the revelation. That's how he came. But returning to the why question, why did he choose to come? I think we get a dramatic picture in the incarnation of God's heartbeat. What we see on display is Jesus is the embodiment of love, compassion to heal hurting humankind, cultivating loving relationships with his followers, and even in turn with those who were rejected by society. We see in Jesus communication from God. As we hear Jesus speak, as we read scripture, as through his Holy Spirit he speaks to our hearts today, we have the exact same flavor as a picture when we see Jesus in the Gospels. His words reflect his love, his radical love, his sacrificial love, his compassionate love that flows to our hearts so that we, in response, would reflect those same characteristics to the world. That's why Christmas is all about God with us, Emmanuel. And I simply want to ask you this morning, as we've reflected on these scriptural promises, these scriptural reminders of the incarnation, I want to ask you the question, is he with you? God is with us. That's the message of Christmas. But I want to ask you whether he is with you today. Has he revealed himself to you? Are you looking beyond the manger to God reaching out to you? And if the answer is yes, then offer your adoration. Offer your praise. for him reaching out to you? And if the answer is no, then I urge you to make a response to God this morning, to open up your heart, allow him in, and allow him to be with you. God with us. We're going to sing a little chorus that simply says, Emmanuel, we call your name, Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us, we call your name, Emmanuel. And I would invite you, as we sing this song, to make it a personal prayer. Allow God this morning to be revealed once again to you. I'm going to invite the songsters to sing a beautiful song, Come Into Our World. Continue to reflect on God with us this morning as the songsters bring us this beautiful song. Thank you. No need to stand on that, do I? Come, Lord Jesus. It's the message that we've had. And we finish with a song that reminds us. Another Advent song. Song 104. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. As we leave this place, may we have the knowledge that Jesus, through the babe in Bethlehem, but through the Saviour and the Lord of each of us, goes with us as we live in his world. We'll stand and sing the four verses, and we're going to sing it to a slightly different tune, which means we don't sing the chorus. Is that right? Let's stand. Of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child be your experience this Advent season. Amen.